The Miller hearing for the confessed shooter in the Oxford High School mass shooting case will be back in court on Tuesday with the judge to determine whether or not life without the prospect of parole is the appropriate sentence in this case. This was brought on by both a U.S. Supreme Court decision and a Michigan Supreme Court decision saying you cannot charge underage youths or cannot sentence them to life without parole without going through a series of steps. It was horrific testimony, Lloyd, by any measure.
Yes.
And when he calls himself a demon in his journals, it's hard for me to argue against that. When you consider how this poisoned mind was thinking, what he wanted to do his classmates, how he wanted to rape a specific classmate and dismember her, I mean, it shocked the conscience. But does that necessarily mean that he won't face life without parole, or whether that could be taken off the table? Among those that listened to this horrible testimony along with us, and who has also seen the terrible video of what transpired on November 30th, 21, is Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
We hear these things, and we're in the court of public opinion. We're lay people. And we, I think, in our minds say, well, how could you not sentence him to life without parole based on what we've heard? But the judge has to consider different so-called Miller factors, doesn't he?
He does. There's five factors that he has to consider. And in considering those five factors, I think Karen McDonald has done an excellent job of establishing why the shooter should be sentenced to life without parole from the standpoint of the circumstances surrounding this horrific act. It's not one homicide, it's four. It's not, seven people are lucky to be alive because they were all shot. There's many more. I mean, the circumstances surrounding the actual event is nothing like we've ever seen. Then buttress this with the facts of his premeditation and his sociopathic, crazy, demented mind of how he wanted to do those other acts for which you talked about, raping a neighbor 2 miles down and gouging her eyes out to see the pleasure of pain. If you or I or Lloyd killed somebody and we did it in self-defense, you know, we did it because they were about to kill us or they were about to kill our spouse, that was our cause. What was his cause? His cause was to see pain, to seek pleasure. So there is, in fact, what I think Karen's team did a great job of presenting. Now here comes the $64 million question. One of the factors for which the judge has to determine is whether or not this shooter can be, is he corrupt beyond repair? Is he someone that has hope for some sort of I don't know how you get back to some sort of normalcy here. But what the courts have and what Miller has and what every law review article has talked about is predictors. If you're the judge guy, you have one element. If you had to determine, can you predict the future of the shooter? Is he someone that can be rehabilitated? And science shows that one out of three times your prediction is wrong. So with regards to that, here in this case, I think we haven't heard any testimony from any neuropsychologist or anyone that has done an actual study on the shooter here and whether or not he has some redeemable quality that can come back to, you know, being rehabilitated. But I would imagine if the defense had anything in their arsenal, they would put someone up that has actually gone through all the data and shown a metric that this shooter is got some ability to be reformed. I don't see it, candidly. Killing birds You can read the writings are replete with the serial killers starting off with killing animals and seeking pleasure with death. So if there's any kind of metric out there, I would suspect the predictor of the future, this Judge Roe, who is a young judge, but I got to tell you, I think Judge Roe's done every ruling in this case so far perfectly, and I've had cases in front of him. Although we may disagree, I think he really goes at it and cares. I think Judge Roe would, in this particular case, if he sees anything in that, has to put it in the equation to mm-hmm. predict the future. And I believe, candidly, you won't find a sentence here that gives him a term of years. I think you're going to find a sentence, if I'm going to predict the sentence, you're going to find a sentence here that is life without parole.
Todd, and I can't remember, and you can maybe correct me on this, was there ever a mental health evaluation for the shooter?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So he was found competent.
He was found competent. Right, yep. And we had talked about that guy, and I had talked about that once before. Yes, he was found competent. So that's one step. And there was never a step here that showed that he was insane at the time. I really think the home element in this case, and we can talk about this at another time, is parents' culpability in this case, I think, is there as well. But and many people are not in favor of that, but they definitely had a hand in. And this, when they give the gun to, they had to know their son was spiraling out of control. I think the insanity defense was also examined, and he was, you know, he wasn't howling at the moon while he was doing this, you know. So he knew the gravity of right and wrong.
Well, and look, there are a lot of people that don't have parents of the year, right? But they don't turn out to be mass killers or someone that tortures animals, dreams and fantasizes about torturing classmates. And I think that's the real break. There is no way you can mitigate that in this case based upon his own journals. Todd, we'll watch what happens with Judge Roe on Tuesday. He won't make his decision for a while, but in the meantime, he has a lot to chew on. We appreciate your time, my friend.